Father in heaven, Lord, you are so good to us. You give us breath in our lungs. You give us songs to sing, Lord. You give us your perfect word to read. Father, you've given us men to bring us that word. You brought us a full house this afternoon, Lord, and I thank you for this. I thank you for the love between husband and wife, between brother and sister, and brother, and sister. God, Lord, I just pray you be with my preacher as he delivers to us the things that we need to hear. May they be from you, and for you, and of you. And we thank you through the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Kyle Beal, would you pray?
Heavenly Father, thank you for another day we're able to open your word. Please give the pastor liberty to speak what it is that each of us need to hear, to champion you to the community at large in the week to come. Allow it to prick our hearts. Please, God, allow us to leave here differently than we came. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' precious, holy name we pray.
Amen. Dan Pascarella, would you please pray?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are in this place, your word is in this place, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. We will close with you, learn about you, Lord, worship you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for the pastor and he's about to give us.
Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. I want to go over some things here, and I'll probably bare my soul a little bit more than is normal here, crying my beer a little bit or whatever else I need to do. But this church is unusual in many ways. I often talk about a church that nobody wanted, took a pastor that nobody wanted, and we kind of inauspicious start, but that's where we're at. Before I even start that, I want to say this. I heard Gracie play in this morning, and she had more trouble than normal, and I thought to myself, she's playing further out than I've ever heard her play, more involved, more intricate than I ever heard her play before. And I thought, what bravery to come in here in front of the church and to do that. You know, there's so many people that wouldn't do that, but you know what? We're her family. And she's becoming so good. All right? And I thought, what a blessing. You know, you take Leanna Kuntz, she's a pastor's daughter. And at one time, her father was her glory. Children, you know, fathers are glory of children. And he raised her, and she learned these skills and such, and now she's the glory of a man, all right? And what glory she brings forth, their ninth child she's about to bring forth, okay? And they're good children, and that playing of the piano, and I look at the Fords, and they're doing that exact thing. Okay? A man out there laboring, and I don't think a lot of people realize the pain he labors in, okay? And what he has to ignore in himself to get out there and work. And a mother now who's quit a career, because those children are more important to her than any career, okay? And raising that young lady to be the glory of some young man, and I'll tell you what, it's a gracious thing, and it's a wonder, it's a joy. We have that in our midst. We're not the only ones. I understand there's others. Okay? But it's a joyful thing. Okay? Now, Philippians, the Apostle Paul says this in verse 1. Go to verse 12. Philippians 1, verse 12. But I would that you understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. And many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. Now let me tell you something. The ministry's plagued with people who preach Christ for all the wrong reasons, okay? I have preached Christ for the wrong reasons. If I were to go back and examine myself, the years I preached Christ, there are times I preached Christ for the wrong reasons, okay? That's one of the things that when you have somebody who's starting out preaching, it's one of the reasons is you don't ordain a novice, okay? You don't do that. You let the novice preach, and sometimes the novice will preach and, you know, hit the ball right out of the park. Absolutely stunning preaching sometimes, okay? But that's part of the reason a local church licenses a man. They can take that license down to McDonald's and that and $1.69 and get a cup of coffee with it, okay? But the point is, the church just saying, hey, we realize the hand of God on this man. They go out there and they work at these things or whatever else. We have Dale, for example, who pretty well does not need us anymore. Okay? There was a time Dale sorely needed to come back in here for the preaching. And I'm not saying the preaching doesn't do him good, okay? But he's reached a point now where God expects him to keep that family in order without this preaching. Doesn't mean he's not going to go into other local churches and such, but he's finally come to that point, okay? That's a wonderful thing that he's come there. All right? That's one of those gracious things God's done in this church, okay? We have another man now called to preach, Ronnie Scolton, okay, who's announced a call to preach. At some point, this church will license him. What's that mean? It just means we follow the John Bunyan procedure that the state doesn't license preachers, the church does, okay? And we'll write on that license that as long as he's in good fellowship with his church, we recognize his call to preach, all right? If he says one bad thing about me, Pastor Hayne, Neil, or anybody else, nope, take it away. All right, he's gone. All right? That's the end of that, all right? But again, it says, some of strife and some also goodwill. Verse 16, the one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, okay? But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, that's one of the more unusual verses in your King James Bible. For one thing, there's no other time you'll see that Spirit of Christ Jesus written that way, capital S. It's very unique, and it's actually because it's the work of the Father. It's where the Father and the Son, I am in the Father. And the Father granting to the Apostle Paul an extension of some power here that he needs. He's not giving him more salvation in the sense of grace, just an extension of that that he's given him. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, that with all boldness as always, so now Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death. You know, one of the things that has to happen, if a man's called to preach, Christ has to be manifest in his body, okay? I'm not a power lifter. I think most people can see that, you know? And, you know, I was thinking to myself, I was telling Tim the other day, I got out of the military 42 years ago, and I weigh 15 pounds now more than I did then. It's all proportion different. I wear a much thinner t-shirt. All right. I won't tell you what's expanded. All right. But again, it's one of those things that, but God expects to take me with all my flaws. Okay. Now, a man of God is to be blameless. So we understand that. Okay. And then Paul describes blameless. That's what he's doing. The rest of the verses are describing what blameless is. It's not like, we saw, you know, your car, one of the taillights was out. You can't preach anymore, all right? It's not talking about that. But the thing is, what God expects is for me to live my life in front of you, okay? And for you to see my life for the good and for the bad, all right? To see the good in my children, the bad in my children, the good in my wife, the bad in my wife, the good in me, the bad in me, the good of my family and the bad in my family life, to see it all and to see Christ manifest in us, okay? And after a while, you realize, oh, this has to be a God. I think most people have seen the idea of the bumblebee, you know, that when science determined what's it take for an insect to be able to fly, and they came up with all these rules, and they found, oh, bumblebees don't fly. Didn't fit any of their scientific rules, all right? But the bumblebee flies anyway. Why? Because God made him. All right? Doesn't matter if it fits their scientific rules. God made him, the bumblebee flies, all right? So the thing is, often with a man of God, it'll be something where the world wouldn't pick that person. The world wouldn't say, well, hey, we want this person here or whatever else. But yet God wants to take that person and manifest Christ Jesus in that person, okay? So that they're seen. Now, with that in mind, okay, he says this, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He did not say to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, for me that is. For me. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Okay. I have days I think I can say that. I have days where I'm ashamed. I'm not sure that anybody watching me would say, hey, for him to live is Christ, to die is gain. Okay? I'm sure I have those days more often than not. Now, goes on, it says this, verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. Now, he's going to choose whether or not he's going to live in the flesh? And yes, he is. Mm-hmm. This man is under voluntary arrest to Caesar. This man has been transported to Rome, and if you realize, he's not in chains. Julius courteously allows him to go into town. You know, Dale, when they arrested you, did they just take the handcuffs out and allow you go see your friends for a while? No, they didn't do anything like that, all right? Different ones of you, I've been arrested about 17 times in my life. And none of those times did they ever come up to me and say, oh, you can go see your friend. Why? Paul's under a voluntary arrest that a Roman citizen can have. And he comes, and we know he went before Nero twice, because it says this was written before he came before Nero the second time. It's obvious that Nero has given him a choice what to say the next time. And the Apostle Paul hasn't made his choice yet what he's going to say. I wot not what I shall choose. Now, what's he say? He says this. Verse 22 again. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I wot not what I shall choose. For I am in a strait to be betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So Paul said, look, if I choose to live, it's because I think you churches need me to live more. It'd be far better for me to be with Christ, okay? I took a test one time, the only 3 months I was ever in a normal Bible college, if you can call Peter Ruckman's normal, but the only 3 months I was ever in one of the tests asked, did Paul say that it was better to die and be with Christ? If he wrote yes, he marked you wrong. He said it's far better. And I'll never forget that. It's just a great thing. He purposely put it there. Everybody got it wrong, but no one ever forgot that, okay? Far better to be with Christ. Now, I want to explain a few things here. Thursday night, this church had a meltdown, okay? And probably one of the most grievous nights I've had in a long time. And let me explain a few things. Number one, we meet here on Sundays, and we meet 10 o'clock, we have a Sunday school, 11 o'clock, we have preaching, and then at 1 o'clock, we have preaching. If I'm in the pulpit, the preaching is doctrinal. I am teaching, okay? I am teaching. I'm trying to teach people. I have other people get in the pulpit. Often, Pastor Hain teaches. There are times he gets into meddling and he cleans my clock, all right? There's times he gets into that kind of thing and I'll sit there and go, would we let him in the pulpit for? All right? He's kind of getting on my case a little bit. But we have others that get in this pulpit. But if you've noticed, the ones I invite back are the ones that I feel this church profited by them being here, okay? I think they profited. There are men I bring in here for the men's profit, not for our money, but there are things this church needs to teach the world. Okay, there are things this church needs to give people and for the world to see. Hey, Katie, find a seat somewhere, sweetheart. You're doing a good job. I know your daddy told you to get that, but you find a seat somewhere. You're doing a good job. Now, the thing is, I'll bring some preachers in here sometime, and after two or three times, they'll start asking me questions. And they'll carry some of that back to their church. There are some churches out there that I call awakened churches. And they're men who had stuff I need. They're not just men who, they're going to sit at John Askew's feet. But I often say this. I don't really give my friends anything, but I cut a lot of chains off. Okay? I cut a lot of bondage off of them that's hurt them from ever really being able to learn like they want to learn. And so I often bring men in for that purpose. And I've had some. I got one guy. We had him in here 3 times. The first time, he hit the ball and it kind of rolled a little bit and the catcher picked it and threw it to first. The second time he was in here, he whiffed. The third time he whiffed on three straight pitches. And I thought, I'm never having him. He calls me from time to time. I'm not having him in anymore, okay? There was nothing to him. He didn't come in here to learn a thing from me or anything else, so there was nothing to him. I don't think most of you would have never even known who he is, okay? He then took and wrote a book kind of based off of my book. And, all right, but he had nothing, all right? You know, if we're black guys playing basketball, we'd say he ain't got no game, all right? He didn't have nothing, all right? So when we bring these guys in, but on Thursday night, I have done more soul winning in Thursday night than any other place I am. Why? Because it's Thursday night is when people who aren't even church members, people can come in here and sit here and learn the word of God in a comfortable setting with coffee, with snacks. They learn it. And we have years now of me teaching. Okay. And people go back through those teachings. I have people get a hold of me all over the country who listen to that, who go over that, okay? And we have 60 to 70 every week different people who go on and listen to at least one message. Most of it, when you go back there, are off of the Thursday night messages, all right? We have people also who will, tomorrow there will be people who will listen to every Black Creek Church message. Okay, whether I preach it, Neil preaches it, Pastor Hain preaches it, they're going to listen to every message here. They just do that. They let me know. We listen to every one of them. I had a woman recently tell me, she said, well, you're my pastor. I listen to you all the time, all right? I was glad to hear that, all right? But the thing is, Thursday night is when I bring people in here to have a relaxed atmosphere. We started over there at the Boat Tents House, and we brought people in here. I'll never forget the first time Tanya Spencer sat in a chair over there at the Boat Tents House with this thing. She didn't teach me anything, all right? And you know what the thing is? God grabbed a hold of her. God got her attention. There's a life that the devil didn't even bother her anymore because he was done with her. He'd already destroyed her. Walk away, go on, take another one or whatever else. And I remember when she first started coming to those Bible studies, and we all know the story. It took her a long time, all right, to ever get anything straight. But eventually she got some things straight, and I praise God for that. But Thursday night is a time, for example, my boys and Peter have a ministry to someone they love who will not come to church. Okay? That man and his girlfriend will come to Thursday night Bible study. They come here and they sit here, and it's the only time they'll come. And you want to know something? They both grew up in hellhole families that scream and yell and curse and carry on and all that kind of thing. And you know what? We like nothing better for them to come in here and see the Word of God preached and people happy with each other, loving each other, and everything else. Okay? Thursday night, they saw a hellhole. We had 2 different people in this church. Both of them were probably wronged. But when they got wronged, it didn't matter to them that Thaddeus Coombs brought some of his children here who live in a pleasant house, okay? It didn't matter to them for 5 seconds. It didn't matter to them that somebody's sitting here whose soul is on the line. It didn't matter to them that the guy's girlfriend's here whose soul's on the line. It didn't matter. They're upset now. They're going to yell and they're going to scream. They're going to let everybody know I'm hurt inside. Little Coots children. Abigail sat next to my wife at that Bible study. My wife just thought it was so precious as they looked through the Word of God together. She just loved that. I love all those Coots children. That Abigail's a precious little girl. They all are. They're all just precious. And I would to God they hadn't been here Thursday night. I would to God they'd never had to hear what they heard. Now, let me explain this. We have women that we put in charge of certain things. We call them servants of the church. Now, right off the bat, that never gives a woman authority over a man. The Bible says, I would not have a woman teach nor usurp authority over a man. There's no man who's obligated to listen to any woman in this church. We had someone who evoked kind of an authoritative stand and asked for something to be done, okay? It got all over Peter. It got all over Timothy. I'll say their names because they're here. I'm not going to mention names of people who weren't here, okay? But it got all over them 2 weeks in a row, okay? Now, let me tell you something. Peter Cornelius spends 1 weekend a month serving the United States Marines. He works 2 days a week hanging drywall. 3 days a week, he goes to college and takes full-time courses. On Saturday yesterday, he helped his brother put a roof on, okay? He's almost always busy somewhere. Timothy is a full-time student at the University of Buffalo, taking a master's degree course. Let me just show you some of his courses sometime. I don't even understand the diagrams, all right? Talk about the math behind them or anything. Taking a master's degree class in mechanical engineering. He spent all yesterday working on someone. The Saturday before, he spent the time working on this roof here, okay? But to the person's credit who asked him to work, if you want to get something done, find the busiest person you can. Because chances are they're good. That's why I get Ashley to do things, all right? She'll groan, but she gets them done, all right? The busiest person you can find, all right? But the thing is, to their credit, each one of them caught that sense of authority in there. And when that person complained to me about it, it was obvious they saw it as a thing of authority. And so each one rejected doing it. Then our person decided to absolutely scream and carry on and be mad and yell and everything else. And again, that's all my visitors needed. Undo every bit of soul winning I've been trying to do. Undo every bit of it, okay? Turn this place into a hellhole, just like their homes are, okay? You know what I told Timothy? I said, Timothy, because you are a man, you were not under that person's authority. Well, because you're an Asquith man, you could have done what she asked. And then you could have gone to her and told her why it's unreasonable because you have this person that you and Peter and your brothers work on. And when this is over, they stand around and they talk with that person. It's the one time that person can be there in a church setting and doing not that socialized like Pastor Haynes was talking about, the fellowshipping, okay? It's the one time they could do that. But oh no, our feelings are hurt. So we're going to yell, we're going to scream, we're going to carry on. When instead, if you are hurt, let Christ be made manifest in you.
Amen.
Okay? Let Christ be made manifest in you. Then we had situation number two. That wasn't enough. Okay? By the way, I'm 67 years old and I think in pretty good shape, except I'm not in pretty good shape. I don't understand all that goes on with me. I don't take a lot of medicines or anything of the sort. I have, you know, high blood pressure, but it gets taken care of. But what I do have is an irregular heartbeat. And if I lose a little bit of sleep at all, if I don't get 9 to 10 hours sleep at night, my heart just, it's like a ping pong ball in a cardboard box. It will move along just all over the place. And at times I'll actually gasp, all right, because it's doing that. I try to hide that gasp, all right? And, you know, it's just my heart's doing funny things like that. So I took Thursday, and Ronnie and I, one of the most precious days I've had in a long time, we had to go and get Nick's car towed, and then we went all the way to Erie, and then we went there and saw Nick in the hospital, and then we come back to Ronnie's wife. Ronnie's wife, by the way, Amy Skolton, is doing one of the greatest jobs that's been done in this church in a long time. Okay? She's taking care of her parents. I mean bedpans. How many of you want to go to your parents to start putting bedpans underneath them, all right? Sound of that kind of stuff. She's taking care of that. And let me tell you another thing. It hasn't been easy, okay? Because when I'm sick, I'm a jerk, all right? And I think some of that's been coming out, all right? Not with me, but over there, all right? And so she's really had an awful hard time, and we spent some serious time with her, serious time talking over some problems in that family, serious time. Now, in case most of you don't understand, the boy that had the wreck did it for trying to commit suicide. I knew that the moment he did it. Then he told the EMTs that. I tried to kill myself, okay? I tried to kill myself. He's driven my car. He's driven Ronnie's car. He's driven Chelsea's car. He's driven Nate's car. He's driven all sorts of people's cars. He's always done a good job, okay? But if he decides to kill himself, he probably won't do a good job with it, all right? So then we get back here, and I'm tired. I haven't had enough sleep. And I'm sitting there doing a Bible study, and my heart's doing everything in the world, and all I'm thinking of is I really need to finish this Bible study and get out of here. But for all the reason in the world, we're supposed to have all these fellows setting things up. I come here and find a pregnant woman setting the chairs up. I think that's a little odd. Normally some fellows do that, but I don't know. I find a pregnant woman doing it. So I get Dustin, and by the way, you can ask Dustin to do anything. And he'll do it, okay? You can ask Dustin to do anything, he'll do it, okay? Taryn and Caleb, and they took over for the pregnant woman, started setting them up, okay? The coffee jug's back there. One of the things I usually do at the end of a Thursday night Bible study is I pick up that coffee jug, a little bit heavy, and I take it downstairs and I put it on the counter. Two reasons. One, it gets it out of there. Number two, it's a good way for me to escape. But downstairs, off I go, all right? I can't do that anymore. Why? Because I cannot leave people alone over here. I cannot do that. I left people alone over here, and I might as well left a romper roomy over here. And I know it wasn't everybody. I know that. I understand that. Then, on top of it, there's Ronnie sitting there, and he's just gone through this thing. He's got his in-laws completely falling apart, his wife taking care of him with a bedpan. His son has tried to commit suicide, and somebody wants to tell him it's all your fault. It's your fault. How'd you like it? If your boy went to commit suicide and somebody came and told you it's your fault he tried to commit suicide, how'd you like that? Okay? Anybody like that? It's your fault. It's your fault. You want to know what a good preacher ought to do? Smile and say, I'm sorry you think that. Okay? Ronnie Scolton's not made of that yet. Yet. And he melted down. And he screamed. So there's number two going on. Okay? And again, I'm not sure I could handle that. If one of my boys took my car and went and smashed into a tree and somebody's blaming me and say it's my fault. You say, well, they didn't know he tried to. That's right. People speak sometimes without knowing. Don't we do that? I had one of my father's friends used to put it this way. That lady opens her mouth, her brains fall on the floor, and she talks anyway. But again, what a place to do this. This is supposed to be a place. Let me tell you something. These walls don't make what we do sacred. Yeah. What we do in here makes these walls sacred. Okay? Makes it to be a place where God is to be honored and glorified. I sat over there in my house, and I'm just sitting there playing with some from jigsaw puzzle pieces, and the first person comes over and has to tell me how horrible everything was. And again, I told Timothy, if you're really an ask with man, then you should have done it and then explained why you're not the one to call on. Okay? Take care of it as a man. Tim understands that. I don't have a problem with it anymore. That's over. It's done. He wished the person were here today. He wanted to tell him that himself. Okay? I understand that. With Ronnie, I told him the same thing. If you're going to be called to preach, you're going to be putting up with that all your life. Okay? Isn't that wonderful, everything people have told you, Pastor Hayne?
Yeah.
No. Okay? It's not always wonderful. But if you're going to be called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you need to know how to react, okay? And by the way, that person, if they knew in a million years that was a suicide attempt, they'd have never said that, okay? They'd have never said that. They have more character than that, okay? That's just one of those things where people cross purposes one to another, okay? Not understanding. My wife couldn't sleep that night. Why? Because it bothered her? No. Because she kept checking me while I laid there. Is he alive? She did. She'll tell you that. She kept putting her head on my chest while I slept. Is his heart still going? Because I came over here, I don't know, when I've been more tore out of the frame at the hurt, at the agony, that people that I am trying to show the joys and the love of Jesus Christ, that two of the people here who should have been the redeemed of the Lord and manifest Jesus Christ had a complete and utter breakdown. Okay? Doesn't matter if you were wronged. That isn't the issue.
That's right.
That's not the issue. Okay? Jesus Christ was wronged when he went to the cross.
Yes.
Okay? The Apostle Paul was wronged when he was arrested.
That's right.
Okay? They were wronged. Peter and James and John were wronged when they were arrested. It's to the glory of God when you handle it the right way. Okay? I was so in agony over those Kuntz children on Thursday. Brother, you cannot understand the agony I felt. Okay? That those children had to hear that. I was so in agony that Peter's brother, his girlfriend, heard that. I was so in agony over that. I couldn't speak to my family. And the next morning, God finally gave me some relief. And I mean, he did. How? By showing me to have this service. Okay? Come in here and tell people, now listen. I don't know how much longer I can remain as the pastor here, but my thought was, as long as I can get my 9 and 10 hours sleep a night, gosh, wouldn't it be nice if I could go to 75 or so? Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice if I could do that? You know, as long as I, can think plain, which I've never been able to do before, but maybe I will in the future. But, you know, as long as I can keep thinking plain and that kind of stuff, really, I have a pretty relaxed life right now. Now, I spent 10 years in a house over there with poor ventilation, with a wood stove that was never meant to heat what it is. I have COPD. They asked me, did you ever smoke? No, I never smoked. Okay. Well, did you ever do drugs? Well, yeah, way back in the 1970s, for a year or two, I smoked some dope, you know. I didn't have COPD back then. Where'd you get COPD? 10 years living over there with that wood stove, okay? I now have COPD. Do I regret that? No. No. I don't regret that at all. I'd do it again for the people that are here and the lives that are changed and the things that have gone on. I'd do it again. Okay? All over again. I've watched God do marvelous things. Wonderful things. And I want to see God continue. But that the people that I have watched God pour his grace into their lives can't shut their mouths long enough when they've been wronged so that no one else can get in. I have a hard time with that. Now, a couple of things. And by the way, you know what I had to do Thursday morning before I could come over here? I had to put all the chairs away. All right? What am I saying? I'm saying, A, I'd still like to be your pastor for a while more. But I had serious doubts on Thursday how long I could keep that up. My wife had serious doubts Thursday night if I'd lived through the night. Because again, when I left here before things even fell apart, my heart was just doing all sorts of flips and back flips and everything else and that ping pong ball over the box and I just needed to sit over there. And when I heard what went on and the absolute grief to that, I could not speak. And all night long, she just didn't get sleep, just checking on me, checking on me, checking on me, checking on me. And the next morning, as I say, finally, about an hour and a half in here, grace-centered. Not grace-forward. That would have been nice playing a piano, but I mean grace-centered, all right? And the Lord showed me, number one, couple of things. We're not having a coffee pot here on Thursday night. We're not bringing snacks in. If you want to bring coffee, please do so. You know what I thought of, if we were going to have coffee and snacks again? I thought of when God sent all the quail into the camp, and people began eating it, and the very fattest of them dying as they ate it, because God's so grieved. I could not stand the thought. By the way, Audie Balow took the pot down. Okay? You know why? Because the Balows may have 1,000 things wrong with them, but there ain't a lazy bone in one of them. All right? All right? Audie Balow took the pot down. Maybe at some point we'll bring snacks in here again. Bring coffee cups, bring stuff to drink, bring your soda pop, bring whatever you want. But that won't be a snare here anymore, okay? Thursday night is to teach the Word of God, to fellowship, and for people to come in here and to hear the grace of God spoken of and the things of God and to fall in love with those things, okay? There will be people in this church who do you wrong. God designs that from time to time for your good.
Yes.
Okay? For your good. Come January meeting, we're going to license Ronnie Spolton. Okay? We're going to license him as a preacher out of this church. I'm glad of that. He'll exercise his gifts till then. What's the difference with a piece of paper? You probably weigh about 1/10 of an ounce more. All right? He's got that piece of paper. All right? The way he eats, you probably weigh a lot more than 1/10 of an ounce more. All right? And you want to know the beauty of that is? He mourned over what he'd done.
Sure.
He knew he'd been wrong. Okay? He knew he had. The next day he said this to me. He said, I get so mad at my son Nick, and I realize I acted just like him. I said, oh no. No. The problem is you acted like yourself, and that's why Nick's the way he is. And you know what? Ronnie Scolton is a man. He wrote back, you're right, preacher. Because he's a man. All right, I can handle that. Open rebuke is better than secret love.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
It's one of those things that goes a lot farther.
Yes,
I want to be done with this, okay? But I could not go on as the pastor of this church without venting and airing where I am at on this, okay? It's like I told my children when I whipped their butts, I'm done now. Fellowship's restored. We're all back where we need to be, okay? Sure, I'd love to be with Christ, okay? But I'm not sure they play Settlers of Catan up there. All right? I'm not sure they play croquet. All right? But if ever a man has felt that a church still needs him, I have that feeling here. I hope I'm not just overviewing and pumping myself up as more as I'm supposed to, okay? I hope that I'm not doing that. Because if I drop dead today, okay? I won't do dishes. But no, if I drop dead today, I would hope the church would ask Brother McVeigh to consider candidating his church. I cannot think of another man who would come in here, A, number one, love you.
Amen.
Absolutely love you. Number two, to be jealous for the Word of God and to teach it as that. What I'm hoping is that God raises up more men like that from here. I'm hoping that Ronnie Scolton becomes one of them. He's had his first great test. You know what he's done? Well, my first 22 tests in life, I flunked. Okay? Remember Bill Randall one time jumping up and down angry, and he told the Lord, he says, well, I've failed every other test you gave me. I might as well fail this one, all right? You don't get away with that with God. But God understands that. We're human, okay? Pastor Hain, let's have a song. And let's just go on now, and we'll have Thursday night Bible study again. We're going to do it for a while where you just bring your own coffee and snacks in and have all you want, okay? I'll just be disappointed. I always love getting either Trevor or Caleb to go get my coffee. That's the only thing I'll miss. All right.
Black.
Yeah.